February 10, 2021. It's the Walk for Pedro show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. A little later in the afternoon for Watt. Usually I do these things 11 in the morning, but to accommodate my guests. Well, we start off the show with Naima. This is John Coltrane, his last tour, right? Live in Kobe, Kokusai Hall, 1966, Japan. The Two-Way Street with Rewilding, Part 4. You know, and people, by the way, Brother Matt, Love Grotto, Pleasure Point, great quarantine mode, but not totally alone because through my miracle of Estonian software engineers with their righteous Skype invention, I got Adam and Ashley from Two-Way Street. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And are you talking to me from Knoxville?
No, we're in Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville. Close. Over the Smokies.
Yeah, close.
Yeah, Smokies. I-40, right?
Yep.
And it's scary. There's some turns there. They built that thing kind of scary. And you can get some fog. I remember on some tour and driving.
Yeah, it's pretty sketchy.
You go through some tunnels, through the mountain.
Yeah, like right by the river. Yeah, the rivers.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You know, yeah, it is, it is, it is. Just be careful. I think Dollywood ain't too far.
Nope, that's real close.
Yeah, that's right there.
Bye, in the bye. So,
you played there before?
No, I ain't even visited, but one day maybe.
They have a lot of music there.
Yeah, of course. You know, that was the whole idea of Branson, right? These people would, that's over in the Ozarks, like Missouri. Mm-hmm. But you open up your own venue. I think Wayne Newton, all them people. Not them people, but some music people did that. So, but I think it kind of went bust. I think Las Vegas, maybe you can do that. Maybe not. You got to get a tie-in with the hotel. Anything, I want to ask you about this title of this fucking song, because I knew this Italian rock band called Rewild. And it was like, where the fuck did they get this name? And, you know, and I was thinking, you know, they're Italian guys, so why not? You know, just be creative. But you guys got it in your fucking song title. Is this a real English word, the Rewild?
Rewild, I believe, is proper grammar. I think we may have made up rewilding.
Yeah.
What, like a adverb?
Like a verb to rewild.
Yeah, like you're in the process of rewilding.
And what is rewild?
It's just sort of like an effort to reintroduce the wild.
Get wild back? Okay. So it's fucking pretty self-evident. Why? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So to redo, get wild again. And
Yeah. But it's kind of more used in like an environmentalist kind of standpoint.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
We have a hospital here for sea lions and seals and shit. And we have to like rewild them. We call it reintroduce, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with a lot of people who like do it by like replanting like native plants into like their neighborhood and like, you know, just trying to introduce natural fauna to their setting again.
Well, the thing is with these mammals, marine mammals that got to take care of because of sickness and shit, you don't want them get too used to humans or they won't know their behavior.
True.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So that's how I know it. Well, thanks. So those cats, they really had a real English word for their name, and I was just an asshole. Strunzo, culo. Fucking idiot. Fucking, what do they say? Idiota. Yeah, even the woman one, right, for the guy. Idiota. Okay, now let's get into Ash, because Adam's been on the show before, right? You and your two compadres.
Well, yeah, me and Matt Nelson.
And I think you talked to me from three different fucking towns.
Yeah,
you're like, because one dude was at a fucking rest stop on the New Jersey Turnpike or some shit.
Yeah, that was Benny.
Benny. Okay. Because I think it was in between moves or something. But we didn't get to talk to Ashley because she ain't part of that unit. So, yeah. Ashley, your earliest musical memory, please.
I remember this. My family used to live in Atlanta. My uncle gave me like a little keyboard that you would get at like Toys R Us. And I just remember figuring out little simple songs by ear and feeling like maybe that was something that I should follow, just using my ear and hearing.
So your earliest musical memory is actually trying to make music.
Yeah. Actually,
that's a fucking good one, right? Almost everybody, well, I was riding around the car with my pop and there was your music coming on the radio. Okay. Hey, you know who's in Asheville nowadays? Jeff Pincus. He was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've met him. It's kind of hard to meet people. I mean, we're kind of new here still, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I haven't seen them anywhere.
Well, Jeff Pincus is a bass man from, you know, a lot of bands, you know, and actually from Atlanta. too. Because
cool.
Yeah, I got to his story. I think he was riding around in his car, dad's car, with him, listening to radio. So anyway, you're making music. So there was no instruments in the pad until your pop went to Toys R Us.
No, there wasn't. No one in my family is musical. So I guess maybe the only person is, apparently I have a great, great grandfather who was a cellist. And that's about it.
Yeah, so but you're on cello.
Yeah, I'm a
cellist. Well, then there's the connect. Now, your pop, he wants you on keyboard. I mean, what was his notion? I got to give her something to do?
Yeah, I guess it was just kind of like, I guess kids like these little things. She can just open bop around.
Yeah, but why? Oh, because it's kind of self-contained, like a Casio, a little, like
yeah, rubber. Something to just, like, occupy me when right. they're working or something.
Well, I'm just wondering why I pick keyboard, not Alabama sausage whistle.
For Dakota, most days.
Okay. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Yeah, I did band in middle school. I started on French horn because I was really cool.
Little mouthpiece, right?
Yeah.
Because you know who plays one? That's a fucking, was, happening bass man?
I don't know.
John Entwistle. In fact, there's a song called Pictures of Lily, and he does a fucking French horn solo.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, I think like 1966 or something. What was the first record you bought with your own money, please?
Oh my gosh. This is probably really embarrassing because I was a kid, but with like allowance money. Like the Backstreet Boys,
that's
probably.
Because right. when you're little, you don't, you know, money's hard to come by, so you can only buy your first record once, right? And what about the first gig you went and saw?
Gosh. We lived in Atlanta, so we had all sorts of musicians coming through.
Oh, right? Yeah. Come on, it's the big, I think it was the first South city to go over 1 million people.
Yeah.
I remember before they had the 4-lane freeway. The freeway, the big improvement came when the Olympics came.
Mm, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And the club there was 688 Club, Steve May. Ig had his set list painted on a bulkhead. Yeah. It changed so much that town. But yeah, a lot of cats came through there probably. And look, it's a lot for Pedro show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Well, you know what? My answer is, I actually remember, like, my family grew up in Florida. We moved back, and then I just remember people on the beach playing in, like, groove bands and playing steel drums. Like, that's some of my earliest memories of, like, live music is, like, beach bar.
That's okay. That's okay. You know, because you're talking Florida, it could have been a Backstreet Boy gig, right? That they were from.
Yeah,
definitely.
Not New Kids. That would be fucking Massachusetts, right? Okay. New Kids on the Block. Yeah. Okay. Maurice Starr, right? He put that. It was the cat who put together a New Edition. And then that guy. There was bad news about that guy. Oh, yeah. Later on, some garbage came out. So. But anyway, those guys, very talented and great. You know, we've got the biggest bands in the world right now. One of them is a K-pop band, and the K-pop owes a lot to that scene in a way. Mike Jackson, too, I should say. So, look, you're telling me keyboard, French horn. How'd you get on the fucking cello?
Because I was in the youth symphony. I was rocking away on fourth horn. And somebody played a cello concerto, and I just remember thinking that that was the coolest thing I had ever seen in my life, and it was the coolest instrument. And then that summer, between like freshman year of high school and sophomore year, I bought a cello off of Amazon, and then it was just history from there. It just stuck.
They mailed that motherfucker? Because, you know, the sound
is,
you know,
it's like a cello-shaped object.
I got to tell listeners, basically, it's a bigger-sized violin. To keep the temper the same, they just made different sizes. Even the stand-up bass is a giant violin without a chin part. And there's a thing in the middle called the sound post. And that motherfucker moves, you ruin everything.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Right? You know about this. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you about the cello. Huge range,
mm-hmm.
right? All this low bass clef, all the way up in the treble clef. And then also, like the violin versus guitar bass, it's in fifths, not fourths. So the between the strings is some drama. More drama, more drama. There's always
it's
drama.
A big instrument too, so it's just, it's so resonant. Like maybe more so than the violin. So you can just get tons of different colors and sounds and effects.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's in that family there. You know, they did the same thing with mandolins about 120 years ago. It was real popular to have these mandolin orchestras, and it usually was women. I don't know why, but they'd have like one of every size. In fact, there was a bass mandolin. So Leo Fender actually didn't invent the French bass. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why you're on the show, Adam.
Yeah.
You
learn everything from the new every day.
No, but if you ever wonder where that fucking name Precision came from, Precision Bass? Because it's got frets. You can be precise with your intonation, right? Didn't you have, Ashley, wasn't that kind of a little chore to learn?
Yeah, it took me like 10 years.
Yeah, right. Now, did you use markers? Did you use pieces of tape and shit?
I did at first, and then somebody taught me about using harmonics. And like the resonance of the notes to listen.
Sure.
And that, so that happened after I got my master's.
That was very clever though. Well, yeah. that's somebody who's working gigs, so they, because that can happen while you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good. You know, Jocko with his Florida guy bass man, his solution was where you pull out the frets. He wasn't the first to do that either. That was Bill Wyman. But then you fill it in with epoxy. So see, the lines are still there.
Mm.
Also, you can use round wound strings. They don't eat up your fucking neck. Anyway, we're getting on a tangent here. I want to play some more rewilding, part two now. Thank you.
Who said you were bright-skinned? No one will ever know now. The glimpse of others' eyes covers and hides your body, your face.
Watch for Pedro Show. Rewilding Part 2 from Two Way Street. Ava Mendoza after that, brand new. She's there's some music she made for some people's stuff. Tramp Strategy, number one. Dumb Numbers after that. Essence Existence. Yeah, Jonathan from Joyful Noise. I don't know if you guys know about that label. It's a great label. I was on a couple of releases. One of them, Afternoon Freak. Anyway, cancer killed him, man. Young.
It's fucked up.
Fucked up. Well, yeah. So anyway, Brother Jonathan, for you. Phil Venable out of, well, not too far from you. Chapel Hill, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah, bright skin. Hands Rotten out of Switzerland. Intro to Kickstart Floppy. And Balmus Prendon from the DC area, Gimme Pop Pop Mantra Tantra. This guy's recorded about 5,000 songs and only did 5 gigs.
Wow.
4 years. Talking about, yeah, Proj. And then finally, part 3 of Rewilding, Two-Way Street. So, okay, you get this cello, and then you go to college? Because you said something about master degree, Ashley.
Yeah, I went to college. I got both my undergrad and my graduate degrees in music performance in cello.
What school?
I did my undergrad at Florida State, and then I got my master's at...
Let me get this right. Seminoles, Tallahassee.
Yep, Tallahassee.
You must watch some football.
No, I fucking tore, dude.
See, but nobody ever says that. Everyone's like, oh,
we
have a great football team.
No, yeah.
You played in Tallahassee?
A butler. There used to be 2 cowhouses, right? And also on the campus, too. One of them was opening for Jay Maskus. Anyway, where's the master from, Ashley?
It's from UT Knoxville.
Yeah, okay.
Vols. Yeah.
Go Vols. A lot of R's.
Yeah, there's some more football for a set of football.
Yeah, but I played Vic and Bills, huh? You know about that?
That was on the Strip, right?
That was one of the it was a deli, right? You played in front of the cold cases.
That's old school, man. I don't think that's around anymore.
No. Not around anymore. But I played with a guy from there, Larry Mullins. He did the last 2 years Stooges, and so I got some Knoxville in me. And we got some stuff here from the fucking pilot light.
Oh my god!
Classic.
That place so much.
No, from you guys. So, but I'll go there and play there again. Okay, so nothing's canceled. Everything's just postponed. So, what you do after college with music, Ashley?
Well, I graduated and I was teaching a little bit, but mostly like I graduated and I just wasn't really sure what I was gonna do. So we were just kind of improvising and we were doing our duo stuff, and that's how kind of the music we make now, how it really took off was once we graduated.
So you didn't go looking for a classical orchestra or a band? I remember there was these 3 ladies in New York City. I think they were called Rasputina. They were like rocking the cellos.
Hey, she created her own band, man.
And there was I didn't know. That's why I'm trying to interview about it. What was your own band called, Ashley?
Two-Way Street.
Oh. I thought that was not your... You mean that's your band and Adamy? I thought you guys made that band together.
We made it together. Yeah, we made it together.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever have your own band, Ashley?
No, never did. Okay. I always wanted to.
Adam misspoke himself.
Yeah, I misspoke. Sorry.
Members, no wrong answers on the What for Pedro show. It's okay. So how'd you guys meet?
We met in the Contemporary Music Ensemble.
Yeah, we were playing some contemporary classical music when we were in school.
Ah, so you're fellow students.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, you still have to use words. I'm working on the mind reading shit, but till then, you got like use words and like stupid what? Okay. So you guys were both at Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was the first Two-Way Street gig like?
What was the first Two-Way Street gig like? Was that the pilot light? Or no?
I think it's like a studio recital.
Well, we went up to, we played a lot at school. We played a lot when we were at the University of Tennessee on campus. But I think one of the first times we left campus and played was up in Boston.
No, on campus is a real gig. Come on.
We had recitals. One of the first piece we asked our friend who's a composer to write us a piece because he was in town and he needed a place to stay, and so he
bartered.
Yeah, we bartered.
Cock pad for a piece. Look right at the end of the first hour, February 10, 2021. This is Wapito Show special guests, two-way street. Hold tight for hour two. February 10, 2021. It's second hour of the Wapito Pete Rose Show.
going to break. Bad times.
Watch for Pedro show. We started off the second hour with Rewilding Part 1. And we got the whole fucking Rewilding suite here. It's bitching. Part 1, two-way street. But the Rewilding is your composition, right?
Yeah, we wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be your composition if you wrote it. Yeah, okay. Then Sam Locke Ward after that with Ride a Silver Pony. And then two-way street, live at the Pilot Light. September 6, 2009, way back 2019, and this tune called Improvisation, but something tells me this is probably more descriptive than the actual title. I don't know, just guess.
Well, Matt named it. He just handed me the file.
Yeah, he's the boss there, right?
Sometimes, yes. Okay. Depends.
No, and also Stripe Light?
Well, Rewilding was...
No, that's Jason. Jason is the guy who runs...
Jason actually recorded Rewilding.
Yeah, but he runs the label, right? Cause I know some stuff about the scene there a little bit because of Mike Baghetta.
Yeah.
In fact, Mike Baghetta is what turned me on to your other band.
Oh, Io?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good scene, yeah.
Jason, and it all, awesome. A lot of that stuff came from... that gig where everybody was helping the Reverend Fred Lane, the dude who didn't do a gig in 40 years. And he made a lot of connects. In fact, one of the connects was Brother Evan Lipson, bass man. I've had a lot of kids, a lot of cats on the show, courtesy of him and stuff. And some very grateful and stuff. And, I mean, that's one of the things music's about, you know. So you don't really consider recitals gigs, but I kind of do, man, you know. But was it scary, the first two-way street gig?
Yeah.
Pretty scary, yeah.
It's terrifying.
We've been in music school for a while, and we were invited to play in Boston, and yeah, we were nervous, but it was exciting for us.
Yeah, and what'd you work, the vibe?
I played actually the marimba.
Marimba's okay. Okay, both of them are bitching. I mean, I love both.
Yeah.
It's a trip, you know. You would think a lot more drummers would, you know, Don Bonebreak from X, he can rock the vibes, and maybe marimba too. Marimba's wood, right?
Yeah, it's wood. It's I prefer vibraphone, but marimba can be fun.
Well, they get their own thing, but they're cousins,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And of course, Ed Marimba, right, which is really Art Tripp. He started out classical, Cincinnati Symphony, I think, like in his teenage. Cap Beefheart's second drummer, or the third drummer, actually, after John French.
Oh, huh.
You might want to check out some Cap Beefheart. He was actually, him and the Stooges were doing punk before there was punk.
I think it's Cap Beefheart.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, like, there's stuff with marimba.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, okay. Well, that's our trip. Yeah. That's
same with Zappa. Zappa has some marimba too.
Well, maybe that's because they were friends growing up, so maybe that's
that makes sense.
But neither guy played it. They got players who did it. And in Cap Beefheart's case, it was a drummer man, Art Tripp. He used to play with a fucking monocle. And panties. And his hat was a panties, right? The panties was put on his head like a shower cap with holes, two big holes. Okay, I want to play Improvisation with Matt Nelson. Watch for Pedro Show, Improvisation with Matt Nelson, Pilot Light, March 8th, 2020. So, man, that was right before the COVID-19.
We were the last gig at the Pilot Light before COVID. All right.
Two-way street. Glimpse Trio after that. Oh, yeah. And then Two-Way Street with Reinvention of Romance, Sample 3. Now, I guess it's an excerpt, right? It's like Reinvention of Romance is a big piece, and this is like a part of it?
Yeah, it's just a sample. It's just a little part of it. It isn't its own track.
Yeah, nowadays, you got to be careful with the word sample, because, you know, that could be fucking Clyde Stubblefield with Funky Drummer.
No, I guess so, yeah.
You know that? Word, you know about that?
Yes, sir.
You know about that? It's the most frequently sampled album.
Oh, yeah. The breakbeat thing? Yeah.
Well, it was a Jim Brown song, right, called Funky Drummer. And then they took a little piece of that, maybe Public Enemy, but maybe even before those guys. And it's been used in so much stuff. So yeah. That's why sample. So maybe next time you want to write excerpt.
Excerpt's probably better. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's just what the label
But they are kind of, you know what? They're kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Semantics.
Right. English. Half a dozen, six. Yeah.
Whatever. It's all the same shit.
Right. Yeah, maybe. It's not all, but certain things. Maybe. I don't want to get too fucking reductionist there, right? Now, what about moving that fucking vibraphone around? I see pictures of it, man. That's huge.
Yeah, it's a pain. I have a really old vintage, like, old instrument, too, that's just, like, a pain in the ass to move.
It's got a big electric fan in it, right?
Yeah, the motor is taken out of it, but it still is, like, really heavy and just a bitch to move. It takes up so much time.
Yeah, and we've carted it around in his Honda Fit.
My little teeny Honda. I mean, it's just it's, you know, you can break it down. It turns into a science, you know. I think I can get it into my Honda in like 15, 20 minutes.
Practice makes perfect.
There you go.
Right. The future belongs to the efficient.
Bullshit. Yeah, percussionists are professional schleppers. We're good at moving shit.
The guy in the rear with tons of gear.
There you go. Yeah.
Shouldn't be. Big mistake of the Minutemen was having George Hurley in the back. The guy should have been, I don't know if you've seen me in the last 20 years, but I've always had my drummers downstage, right on the lip. It's fucking rhythm music. Why be in denial, you know?
Yeah.
So what about recording Two-Way Street, like the stuff we're listening to? Obviously, these live recordings were gigs, but what about bringing the stuff into the studio? Like, I'm imagining this Reinvention of Romance was a studio recording.
It's actually a home recording.
Why can't home be a studio?
Well, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That works. Yeah, I mean,
especially nowadays, right? Shit is more econo enough.
Yeah.
You want to go to fucking Hollywood and pay $1,500 a day?
Yeah, we don't need to do that.
No.
It was in the composer Sarah Hennies. She had us up at her house in Ithaca when we recorded in her garage.
And composer. So this isn't your piece.
No, Sarah, our friend Sarah Hennies wrote the piece for us.
What? Tell me about it. Again, the mind reading ain't working. You got enlightened.
Yeah, well, it was years ago. I mean, we asked her to write us a long piece because I was playing a lot of Sarah. Sarah is a composer based in Ithaca, New York, and I had been playing a lot of her percussion music. And
we gotta tell the listeners, Ithaca, Cornell.
Yep, Cornell. Yeah, right.
And
up,
who
right
was
there.
The famous? Who was billions upon billions?
right? Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, the guy who talked about space and shit.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Is he in Ithaca?
Carl Sagan, come on.
Oh, Carl Sagan.
Jesus Christ. I think the singer of who's that? One of those Warped Tour bands. Where they call the singer went to school there and stuff.
Okay.
That's a good thing about Alzheimer's. You're always new bands, new people, new friends. I can't remember shit. Anyway, about this lady. Okay, she's a composer friend. And what? Two-way street was looking for material?
Yep. Yeah, so, you know, a big part of our group is we commission music from composers. And we asked Sarah to write us something, and she said yes. And we worked with her for years. We went to workshops with her up in New Hampshire, and then we recorded it for a label. And she wrote us this big piece.
Yeah, you know, that's something that's not so much in rock and roll. Hey, write me an album. Well, actually, it does happen, but no one does. No one discusses that. Right? Remember the Tons of Poses album cover? The guys, Use Your Illusion, right? They didn't write any of their fucking songs.
Yeah.
It happens, right? But I think it's different with you guys. It's not. That's more like myth building and shit. Well, I'm going to get into this a little more, though, because I had some trippy experiences, but we're at the end of the second hour, February 10, 2021, the Dish Watt Peter Show special guest, Two-Way Street. Hold tight for hour three! February 10, 2021, it's third hour of the Watt for Peter Show. Back from Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Reinvention of Romance, Sample 1. Sample. It's an excerpt, people. It's a big piece, and this is a chunk of it. Two-Way Street. And what's her name again?
Sarah Hennies.
Yes. Sarah Haynes. Haynes? Yeah.
Hennies.
Hennings. Sorry, Sarah.
Yeah.
Hennings. H-E-N-N-I-N-G-S?
H-E-N-N-I-E-S.
Oh, I-E-S. Okay, people. Maybe check out her other stuff. And I wanted to talk about this. You know, one thing about, like, classically trained people, right? You got to have the music. They can't improvise. That's the big joke, right?
Yeah, that is.
If you don't put the music in front of them, they can't. These guys play like motherfuckers, but if you don't have it in front of them, right?
Yeah.
But that's kind of a cliche, though. It's not true of all
of them. It's not really cliche.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true.
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's like not the fact that they can't improvise. It's just the fact that it's not a skill that like our teachers or our schools like ever really emphasize
or promote.
You have to like really seek it out. You have to like really like.
You didn't have the professor get all fucking baracho and hey blues jam in E minor. You know.
Yeah.
Believe me, when
no,
I hear
Beethoven's not a.
Yeah, when I hear that shit, I want to die too. I'll tell you.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason we began to improvise is because we graduated a bit and began to participate in the music scene in Knoxville.
So you never did that actually at school?
No.
Not really, no. It was when we got out and began to play out more.
Okay. Because, you know, even composers, like, for example, a piece, I've got a few of them, the actual manuscripts from Nels Klein. And he has sections where he writes out the fucking quotes, right, where you want little melodies and tags and heads. But then those spaces, you know, let the freak flag fly. Then get it back together. You know. Sorry about that. But you know what I'm saying? There might be a middle ground where, like, both worlds meet.
Yeah.
And then maybe Two-Way Street is going to be a pioneer in that kind of shit. I want to play Reinvention Romance, the number 4.
is crude, this is seamy, but I saw you and I wondered, did you see me?
Are you free, unencumbered? Send a message and I'll send you back my number.
I was the one who borrowed war and peace. You were the one who wore the worn-out fleece.
I was the one who had the pink beret. You were the one I saw at IGA.
I was the one who bought the instant noodles.
You were the one who had the mohawk poodle.
I was the one who had the box of Rogaine.
You were the one who threw up on the sky train. Are you the one?
Just a note inside a bottle in the ocean.
I was the one who tried to share my flask.
You were the person in the Paisley mask.
I spread my droplets in the angry fog.
You poked my nostril with a cotton swab.
You had that disco ball you said you'd lend me.
I was the drag queen dressed like Bonnie Henry.
You were the one who breached my social distance.
Behind the glory hole,
I was the one who paid your freeway toll.
I was the vampire with the fear of bats.
You were the one who found my missing cat. I was the one who was your contact tracer.
You were the one who brought the mace and taser.
I was the one you drank under the table.
You were the one who gave birth in the stable.
Who borrowed war and peace? You were the one who wore the worn-out fleece. I was the one who had the pink beret.
You were the one I saw at IGN.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Excerpt number 4 from Reinvention of Romance, Two-Way Street. Then Veda Hill, Missed Connections. This is in Vancouver. These people talk about improvise. This was like, you know, like charades. You're given a task and you have to invent a way of, you know, making it be so. These guys made songs on the spot, in the moment, out of Craigslist ads.
That's my answer. I love that.
Okay. Yeah. People are bored. Okay. Then finally, Two-Way Street, live at Scottage, March 2nd, 2020. Improvisation again with Matt Nelson. So how's, we didn't get to talk about him. How does Matt Nelson figure into Two-Way Street?
Well, we just met him on the scene in Knoxville. I began to play with him a lot, and then Ashley joined in, and we just improvised with Matt, and we play gigs with him still. So he's just a close friend of ours, and a big influence on us in terms of improvising.
Yeah, Matt influenced my improvisational language, as it were.
Well, off air, you guys were telling me that the Knoxville scene had huge influence on you.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. That's where we met, and that's where we kind of began to discover who we were as an ensemble.
And then also this idea of scripted music versus improvised in the moment music.
Yeah, totally. I mean, our entire academic school life, we had played music that was written down
right,
for the most part, and then we kind of began to play out in Knoxville, and it was more popular in Knoxville to kind of improvise your way through a show, and that's kind of how we began to develop that language.
Well, I'm curious. Did you ever listen to jazz in college?
Yeah,
I played. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, there was a good jazz ensemble.
Well, you know, there's a John Coltrane album, Adam, called Bags and Train.
Huh?
You know about Milt Jackson? His nickname was Bags.
Oh yeah, I know.
Okay.
I played in jazz band in college too, a little bit.
Because there's what they would do is, especially those bebop guys, would take standards and then improvise on them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, fucking my favorite things ain't like Sound of Music when John Coltrane got it.
No, definitely not.
But it's still a waltz.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the thing. There's ways of still preserving. And then what a guest on the show a month ago was Bob Marsh out of Pueblo. And he called it jumping from the pole. That's what he called, you know, him and Jack Wright, right? Some older gentlemen that have been doing improvised music a long time. Really inspiring to hear them talk about it. And this idea of, you know, letting the freak flag fly. But at the same time, you know, music has all kinds of tradition. So why can't it, like most things in life, take turns?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even in the same fucking piece.
Yeah. And I think we're both genuinely interested in all kinds of ways of writing down, improvising, and I think that, you know, it's great for everybody to try out all different kinds of methods of performing.
And when you were at school, like, you could listen to that stuff, but they didn't want it in the classroom?
Well, I mean, we did study jazz. It was a part of our studies, and I played in a jazz band for a little bit.
Now, those guys, you know those guys, they could read and write.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know that. Yeah. So I remember John Coltrane, you know, because, right, he was pushing things further and further out, right, the sheets of sound. And, in fact, Downbeat, a big jazz magazine or whatever, anti-jazz. And he's, you know, he didn't get mad in this interview I got with him. He's laughing. He's saying, they're trying to act like we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for us it was, like, free stuff. That is, like, really, like, completely and totally free improvisation. Like, a lot of the times when Ashley and I play, we don't even have, like, we don't really talk before we play. We just sit down and play. That's what we do with Matt as well. And that was so liberating and so good for us after we had gone through classical music school, where everything was very much more strict than that in terms of how we played. So,
yeah, but look, I don't want to knock that experience, because it's still music, and it's you can use that stuff, right? Solid foundation. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm not trying to knock. You know, everybody's got their own journey, right? And there's different ways that lead you to right now. So I'm not trying to make you feel bad about doing any of that stuff. I think it's righteous, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Okay. And I think, like, it's not a bad thing, but I think when you're in that world for so long,
yeah,
and everything's pretty regimented, and, like, you're always under this microscope, it's such a freeing experience to go and just sit down and just make music for the sake of it without worrying about anything else.
Yeah, okay. And, I mean, and it's not only about the old days, right? Thurston took me to this guy, James Tenney. And that's, you know what? That shit looked really incredibly difficult. The microtones, they were using regular instruments, but they were like not the same scales, and it seemed really tough. It was trippy, though. I was really moved by it.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, he's a great percussion composer.
And then I saw another classical thing, not so modern, because they were doing Parsifal, and then the other one was Mandarin, Bella Bartok.
Magical Mandarin.
Yeah, when they flipped the fucking violins over and started beating with their bows on the back of the neck. But it was trippy. What the dynamic I saw that was different than a rock and roll band. They were all bitching players, like 60 of them, right? But until they kind of let him run the show, the real power came. Michael Preussner took me, he brought me to the front of the stage. And when they, and not like fascism or some shit, but they just let him be the rudder man. And then the whole music, it got so fucking big and intense, you know? It was trippy to see, to experience. It was at the Dorothy Chandler thing. You know, I really love what you guys are doing. What's the future look like? Well, recording, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been hard because of COVID, but...
Well, what about composing and recording in the home, like you're saying?
Yeah, well, in the spring, we're going to be working with composers from New York University to kind of collaborate and perform some of their new music.
Great.
So,
what about trading files over the internet?
What's up?
Trading files over the internet.
Yeah, because that's sort of it'll be like
a
little collaborative residency.
Right, man. I've made bunches of albums with people I've never even fucking met. It's a way of doing things. Why not? Fuck. And where can people find you on the internet?
Well, I have a website. Ashley has a website. Ashley, do you want to say yours?
Yeah, it's just Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-E, booth, like a phone booth, cello.com.
Okay. And there's and probably links to the two-way street thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And they're on Instagram, too. I don't know what our handle is, but you can just find two-way
street. Yeah, but that's a merch one. I want the personal fanzine. Okay. From there, you can find all that other stuff, right?
There's a link to that.
Big honor to have you aboard. Thank you so much, truly. And when you get this new stuff with these composers, come back on the show and we can talk about it and play it.
Yeah,
sure. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. People, it's been a February 10, 2021 edition of the Dishwap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.